This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You want to know why I'm wonderful? We've had rain.
Really?
Rain. It came, it stormed. We got a lot of rain, and then it came back and stormed again, and we got more rain.
See, now I wasn't expecting that. I would have thought maybe something else had happened, but you have said that it has been so hot and so dry for so long, I didn't think we were ever going to talk about rain, but here we are.
Here we are, and it did rain. I didn't think it would ever rain again in my lifetime. I mean, the damage is already done. We've already got the dead bushes. We've got dead grass. I mean, what can I say?
And you can't bring that stuff back. Once it's gone, it's gone.
It's hard. It's really hard. It takes a lot of rain to get the grass to come back. And we didn't even fertilize this summer because it was too hot.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want to burn the ground or burn the grass.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So is it completely, do you have to literally replace everything again?
No. Okay. We're going to have to replace a lot of shrubs, flowers, things like that because of the heat. But I'm thinking the grass will come back. Now that we've had that much rain, I think it will.
Just in time for winter.
There you go. Then the winter will knock it out again. It's just, you know, everything just comes and goes, okay?
Yeah.
Now then, a client this week made a request that we be sure and tell everybody what radio stations we're on.
Oh.
We're on 550. On Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. We're on 97 Gold at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then the Lubbock station, we're not on it till 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So, but apparently he was having trouble with 97 Gold because he was on his phone. He wasn't able to hear. And I sent him a text telling him to go to 550 because they come on at 10 o'clock. But he didn't understand it. So he said, I think you should tell everybody what radio stations you're on. I said, okay, I'll do it.
It's a great idea.
There you go.
There you go. There's the rundown. There's the schedule. I didn't even know the schedule.
There's the schedule. You know, I just thought everybody knew. Now, 97 Gold. You know, it's on there. It's listed that, you know, the show is on at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
8 o'clock on 97 Gold. And then 10 o'clock on 550. Then in the afternoons in Lubbock.
In fact, I didn't even know the schedule. I just wrote it down myself.
Okay. Well, now see, it's been on all these years and nobody knew the schedule. And you need to know that.
Yeah.
97 Gold, 8 a.m. Saturday morning. 5:50, 10 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning. Lubbock is 1 o'clock.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. A lot of good things on the website.
And if people...
And you're fixing to redo the website, right?
What? We need to... Yes. We need to talk about that, but yes.
We're going to make it better and prettier, right?
We will make it better and prettier and fix all the weird things that are in there. Yes, we'll take care of all
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, I've been intending to say if we were going to do it, and then I got sidetracked.
Well, it's been so busy.
And, I've been busier than a groundhog. And they're pretty busy.
Yeah, they are busy, especially this time of year from what I hear.
That's exactly right. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk about making money for the client.
Let's do that.
We need to talk about that. Okay, they can do a life settlement. Okay, anybody that's listening that doesn't usually listen, let's tell you what a life settlement is. We buy life insurance policies on people who have terminal cancer. They have to have stage 4 cancer. It has to be not over 35 months. We don't want any long-term policies. So lots of times there's 16 months, 25, 30 months, and we take the LEs on them. We look at it. We see if they're sick enough. If they're sick enough, we're bidding on it. It's a bidding process to see what policies you're going to end up with. We've done a lot of bidding this week. So we're closing out one policy. We're fixing to start on another one. So we pay 1% a month. Somebody years he didn't think we were paying 1%. But we did a deal where the policy was actually set 17 months. So we took it and the other LE that said 40, and we divided it up. That was about 29 months. Hmm. So if it comes in at 17, it's a lot more than 1% a month, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things that I think is always great that I think probably people that are drawn to life settlements love the fact that when they find out what the return is, that is the return, and it doesn't matter if it comes in early. It doesn't matter, you know, if anything else happens. They know ahead of time what their return is going to be, and I don't know that there's a lot of investments, other opportunities, where you can actually nail down the number ahead of time.
No, I don't either. And you know, it's a very conservative approach because if they have terminal cancer, if it's short-term, we're going to do it. So you know that you're going to get your money plus your interest because it's a life insurance. Life insurance companies don't ask you to take a discount. So if it says it's 28 months, you're going to make 28%, like he just said. And it doesn't matter if it comes in early, late, or on time. It's going to be 28%. Then we send in, as soon as we're notified, we ask for a certified death certificate. We send it in, and the insurance company pays us. Now then, they send that to Nevada Trust. All monies go to Nevada Trust, not to us. And then we send them a schedule of who all is getting paid, how much their extra interest is, and then they put the money in their accounts. It's a simple process. You must have an account at Nevada Trust in order to protect, because they're the trustee. We don't handle your money. Checks are not made to us. They're made to the bank. Checks have to be made out to Nevada Trust on any account you have. You can have an IRA account. You can have a Roth account. You can have a joint account with your wife. There's a lot of different ones. But you must have a beneficiary on every account that you do. Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, they were talking about annuities, and said, well, does it go to the insurance company if you die? And I said, of course not. It's not their money. It's your money. And on everything we do, you've got a beneficiary. If something happens to you, they get your money. If not, the money goes in your account, and then you can reinvest and policy every time. Hmm. And we have some, you know, people with big accounts and small accounts, but the minimum for a life settlement is $100,000. And then you must be accredited. That means you must make either $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. There's a lot of government regulations on that. And because people always ask, well, why do you require that? And I said, it's not me, it's the government. But we have to follow government guidelines. And so people come to us, and we send them out the life expectancy. It tells you how long they've been ill. Let's say it's breast cancer. We're fixing to do another breast cancer. And this one's 15 months.
Oh, wow.
So if they say you've got terminal breast cancer, we have all the facts, how many surgeries you've had, when it started, how it's progressed, if it's metastasized to other parts of your body. We have all that information. Then we have the actual medical from the doctors, which we read. And it'll tell you, you know, if they say they're going to die shortly, if it's long-term, everything is in there about this person. So it's really important that you read the life expectancy. If you have questions, you can call me. A lot of people do. They'll call me and ask questions. And if they do, you know, we're going to tell them, just like it is. So for a conservative investment that you know you'll always get paid, you know how much you're going to make, it's a life settlement.
With the LE,
it's not like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not like being in the stock market, where it's up every day or it's down every day. Some days you lose money, some days you make money, and it's not that way with a life settlement. It's solid and it's steady all the time. It's not going to make you rich, but it'll make you a good return. It's very conservative.
Yeah, and usually as far as like setting up, like what people, okay, so for people who have never done a life settlement before, it's not like you just pop in, at least the people who are, you know, thriving the most, making the most money, it's not like people just pop in, do one policy, and then they go off and retire. The most successful people are the ones that are diversified in a number of different policies, always active, always turning money over, always, you know, having policies mature and then reinvesting. How does a general like layout for some of the most successful investors look like? The number of policies they're in and things like that?
Well, they have a lot, I'll be honest. You can't do it with a couple of policies. It's hard because you need to be diversified and you need several. You need like six or seven policies. Now, you can start with a couple. You can come in and say, I want to put $100,000 in, see if I like it, see if I like you. And they can do that. But then to really be successful, they're going to have several. You know, you need six or seven policies that you're turning all the time because you can't just do it and say, I'll put in $50,000. And see how it goes. You know, that won't even get you started. So you need at least two policies to get started, and then you need to maximize that out.
Okay.
And most people do. They'll come to us, they'll have 200, 300,000, and we just slowly invest it, get it all fully invested, and then we set back, and as it matures, they take their money, put it back, and reinvest it. And that's the best way to do it. And that's why it does work. You know, we've been doing this a long time. We learned from our mistakes at the first. We've made a lot of changes as we went along for the better. And we're doing a much better job than when we started. We've still got a couple of old policies. But we're hoping that those things mature pretty soon and get us out of them. We're out of all the other old ones.
Oh, good.
But we've still got Denton in there. Mr. Denton has turned 91, and we think he's bedridden now. Mm. So we're thinking that we're going to be out of that maybe by the end of the year or next. We thought it'd be this summer, but it hadn't happened yet. So I'm kind of moving the goalposts a little bit to see what happens.
I have a question. You had said a couple minutes ago about how people can call, and this is regarding the LE and questions that they may have. You say that when people sometimes get the policy, they're looking at it, they've got all the data, the information, they're looking at the ins and outs, what we used to call page 14 with all the highlights. And you said that people sometimes call and have questions. It's important to know that people who are not, who have never done a life settlement before, you don't need to be a doctor. You don't have to have medical knowledge. Is there maybe a list or one or two questions that people will call and ask the most? Or is that kind of like too generic? Does it need to be a little bit more policy specific?
No, they will ask about the case. They'll say, you know, I'm calling about this one. Can you help me through it? Let's say it's the one that we're finishing up now. It's got rectal cancer. Okay. And it's a long LA. It's complicated. It's not as easy as some of the others. But this guy got rectal cancer. They could not operate, and so they did stents because they couldn't operate on it. The mass was too big. So then they did radiation on him. And so then he gets it in his lungs. And everybody says, well, how long do you think this is going to last? Well, the average life expectancy on rectal cancer is 27 months.
Oh, wow.
So rectal cancer has a very short span. It's one of your deadlier diseases. You know, Farrah Fawcett died of rectal cancer. It's no respect of how much money you've got or how poor you've got. If you get it, you've got a bad way to go. And so this guy, you know, they tried to operate on him twice. They were unable to. So they did the stents. Then they did radiation. He's on oxycodone because of the pain. And I think it's a good policy myself. And so somebody called me and asked me all these questions. I said, in my opinion, it's going to be, you know, fairly short term. I don't think it's going to be long because it is rectal cancer. And if you could operate, you've got a better chance. If you can't operate, you don't have near as good a chance. So anyway, I was called on that this week by someone and was asking questions about that. And that's when I told them that even though we've got two life expectancies on it and they're far apart, it said 27 months is actually about how long they're going to live.
And you have
so in that case, it didn't really matter that the Ellie's weren't exactly alike.
There's a whole team of like literal medical experts, doctors, scientists. You have people that I want to say examine or go through policies and give you analysis of it. Am I saying this the right way? But you've got trained professionals that look at these.
That's exactly right. They're all doctors and scientists. One company has scientists that give you the percentages, the a little more high class, if that's the right word, of what they think. The other is a group of oncologists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want oncologists looking at this. So, and remember that the doctor gives a report also. He'll tell how many times they were at the hospital, how bad it was, what the tests are, and what he thinks. So without those, we could not do it. So you have to have that medical from the doctors that's been treating that person because it is real important. You want the doctor to tell you, you know, what is his summation when he got through.
And every once in a while, I think this is rare, but every once in a while there'll be some notes inside there too, right, that gives you a little bit more insight.
Yes. The doctors all make notes. They tell you what their finding is. They tell you the bottom line when they have examined them. After all the procedures, they give a synopsis after each procedure in the hospital.
Okay.
And they'll say, patient number so-and-so, this is what we found.
I know generally kind of the things that you look at when you look at policies and decide, you know, do we want to bid on this? Do we want to, you know, pass it by? Is this a good policy for us to take on? Or should we skip it? I know you're looking at things like medicine. You're looking at lifestyle. What types of things do you look at when you're deciding whether or not you want to bid
okay,
on a policy?
Okay, if it says they're out playing golf, that's a no-no. I mean, if they're playing golf, they're not sick enough for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to look and see if they're on radiation, if they're on chemo right now, what cancer drugs are they on. If they're not on any cancer drugs, they're not doing anything, I'd say it's probably in remission and we don't want remission. We want somebody that is actively under medical care for their condition. So we're looking at, you know, what oncologist is treating them, when was the last time they had treatment, how many times they've been in the hospital, and what their prognosis is. If they say, you know, this person is so bad, we don't think they are going to have an extended life, we're interested. So it's really important to read the doctor's reports as well as the final chapter.
The lifestyle, you mentioned, you know, the lifestyle, and if they're out playing golf and things like that. I've seen, it seems like, a lot more commercials like on TV where, you know, people are selling their policy, and it's like, oh, you know, sell us your policy, and then it's the people in the van or the whatever, and they're, you know, out traveling and seeing the grandkids and going to the Grand Canyon and doing all the things that they do. There's a ton of people that will buy policies like that. Those are not the policies that you're buying.
No, we're not buying that policy. Life insurance policy. Do we talk about that enough? If somebody anywhere in Texas says, you know, I need medical treatment, I've run out of money, I need to sell my life insurance policy, if it's right, we'll buy it from you. We'll help you out with that. We will buy the policy, give you as much money as we can where you can go and get treatment. So that's the third thing we do. In addition to buying them, if you've got cancer and you just want to sell the policy, that's fine. But if you've got cancer and you say, you know, I need it for treatment, I need it now, you know, we can buy it very quickly and get you that money that you need for treatment. And we forget to say that all the time. Because usually we're buying it for our clients, for our investors, that way. And we don't know their situation. But if they are in that situation where they're in dire straits and need the cash for treatment, they can come to us, they can call us. We'll get a copy of all their medical, and you know, we'll make them an offer.
That is a good point. We don't bring that up very often. You are licensed.
No, we don't.
To buy those, the policies. And it cuts out the middleman, too, if people...
It cuts out the middleman. When we buy policies out of state, we have to go through a licensed provider. We cannot go direct to the customer. And in Texas, we can. We can go direct to you. We can buy your policy. It cuts out the middle people. There's nobody else involved. And it's private. Nobody knows it. That you sold your policy to us. So we do it both ways. When we're bidding on a policy, we're doing it through a licensed provider, and there's other people bidding it. So it runs the cost up because there is a lot of people interested when it's a really good policy, and everybody's bidding it, and we're bidding it hard because we want it for our clients. But now then, if it's right here in Texas, we've cut out the middleman, and it's just us. We bid your policy, you're going to get more if you do it with us here in Texas.
Oftentimes, people are busy, you know, living life, working, traveling, doing whatever they're doing in their daily lives. And so they're really, really busy. How much engagement does a life settlement take before, during, and after the policy matures and before they into a policy? How much engagement does it take? How much time does it take from people who are wanting to invest?
Okay. It doesn't take them very long. It takes us longer to buy the policy because when we're bidding a policy, you know, it's 2 or 3 weeks sometimes. And sometimes, in fact, we bought a policy this week that we bid it in August.
Oh, wow.
And we did not know we got it. And I think what happened, the guy was trying to get more from somebody else, and he comes back and he says, oh, yes, I wanted to do that with them. So I suspect it fell through and he didn't get all that money he thought he was going to get. Hmm. And so they come back and say, oh, yeah, you got that policy. So then, you know, once we have it, then we put everybody in it. We send out invitations. We send them the information on it, the medical, and say, send us an email and say yes or no. If you want in, say yes, and we'll escrow that money out of your account. And when we get all the people in escrow, then we pay that person. We wire them the money, and they've signed an agreement with us. And they've changed. Then we have to change the beneficiary over, and that we have to notify the insurance company that we're now the beneficiary. So we do all that. Now then, when the person passes away, it's going to take 30 days or more to get the death certificate and get it sent in, and then they're going to pay. And sometimes, you know, they'll wait 15 days to pay after we send it. So it depends what insurance company. Some of the biggest insurance companies just sit there and play with it. And some of them pay right away. Some of them we've sent it in, and 15 days later we had the check.
Oh, wow, that's fast.
So, yeah. But we notify the customers when the person passes away. We say we've had a maturity, you're in it. And then we say we'll send you another notice when the money goes into your account, which we do.
So pretty much after, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what it sounds like, after the investor says, yes, I want in, they basically don't do anything. They don't have, like when it matures, they don't have to do anything. When the money is transferred into their account, they don't have to do anything. There's a lot that you're doing on your end, but investors don't need to get up in the middle of the night, check the status, look at their portfolio. They don't need to really do anything. You'll tell them, hey, this policy matured, the money's coming into your account, and they just kind of like sit there. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Now, we had a lady that her and her husband are new. They haven't been with us very long. And we were having trouble getting paid from the insurance company. They were just jacking us around. And we finally filed a complaint with the State Board of Insurance. Anyway, the lady was calling every day. So I know that means she's a new client. New clients are nervous and jerky, you know, when they're waiting on that first maturity. So we notified her. It's in your account. She said, oh, thank goodness. And my husband was really, really worried. I go, how could he be worried? It's just a matter of timing. Everything is timing. Your money's always safe. It's with an insurance company. That's what they forget. It's not with us. It's with the insurance company. That's what makes it safe. That's why you don't have to worry about getting paid, because we send it to the insurance company. The insurance company is going to pay your claim. So people need to always know that. That's why it's a safe investment, because you're investing in a life insurance policy.
And insurance companies also
new clients forget that.
That's true. That's true. And what makes it so wonderful is that insurance companies have all the reserves on hand, so they don't need to go borrow from someplace else.
No, they don't have to go borrow money to pay your claims. They've got $1 million, $1 trillion. You know, they're worth from $60 billion to $150 billion.
Wow.
I mean, they are huge. They've got more money than anybody, and I don't ever see them being called on the carpet like the banks are.
Do you know?
Because they don't loan out money. They don't have any bad loans in commercial real estate. They don't have any bad loans in the housing market or apartments. You know, a lot of them wish they hadn't started a lot of projects in San Francisco and other places. D.R. Horton the other day settled a claim. They built a subdivision. And all the houses were leaking and doors wouldn't close. They were having to trouble with the plumbing.
Oh, wow.
D.R. Horton has settled for $16 million.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they were guilty. They knew they were. They were just putting it off. They kept denying it. Oh, the houses are okay. Well, they weren't okay. Now, they're a public company. How do you think that affected their stock this week?
Wow. That
payout of $16 million.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I thought about you earlier this week. Speaking of banks, I saw a commercial on TV. In fact, I've seen several of them for a new bank.
Oh my God!
I'm like, you got to be kidding me! And it just stuck out like a sore thumb.
A new bank right now is not a real precious idea. Wow! Like, they're fixing all. A lot of them are going to have to put up more reserves now.
Yeah,
because they've got so many bad loans. You know, it's funny. they loan all this on commercial, on homes, all this. And then when things go bad, everybody goes, why did they make those loans, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And changing the subject again, out in Las Vegas, and I read this week, I thought I was really impressed. This guy owns the Fontainebleau in Florida. And, you know, it's a famous, famous landmark. They've made movies at the Fontainebleau. It was where the rich went to be seen, I'll tell you. So this guy starts a Fontainebleau in Las Vegas, I think it was 10 years ago. Well, it didn't work out, and he had billions involved. And so another guy bought it. He didn't work. Another guy bought it. This guy then went back and bought it for a song. He says he's now finished the Fontainebleau in Las Vegas at a cost of about $3 billion. $3
billion. Wow.
Can you imagine anybody spending that on a dadgum hotel?
Wow. Oh, my word.
So we talk about investments. Now, that would have been, I think, a bad, bad investment 10 years ago. I mean, it kept going broke and going broke. Nobody could put it back together. And this old guy finally bought it from, I guess, the lender, and has put it together. And it has 36 restaurants, if I'm not mistaken.
Really? 36 restaurants? Wow.
I think that's what they said. Maybe I read it wrong, but I swear I thought he said that. But it's 67 stories.
Wow. That thing is huge.
In Las Vegas. Can you imagine?
Wow. That'll, it's like, you know, you got to compete in Vegas now. You got to have the biggest and the best. I'm shocked it's at all the hotels that have been torn down over the years, like the iconic ones. And I was seeing some show the other day. I'm like, well, I didn't realize that came down. Like, Binion's? And I mean,
yeah, probably. And they have just redone. And several of them have went broke out there. Just like they have everywhere else. So can you imagine if you're the lender, is what I was going to say. The first time this one went broke, the lender had to have eaten a huge loan there.
You know it.
Because the guy went broke. Then two other guys bought it. They couldn't make the hotel work. And this guy finally comes back. It doesn't say who his investors were on this. But I'll bet you anything, he's got a bunch of investors that put up money for him to finish this thing. And I don't know if it'll be a success. When you're out $3 billion, how do you get that back real quick?
I don't know.
I believe I'd prefer life settlements or annuities. I just stay with the basics, folks. Things that here in Texas we can understand.
Yeah,
I don't think we could understand a huge hotel in Las Vegas. I think it's over our heads.
Oh, this is much more manageable. Much more.
Yeah, this is much more manageable. But a life settlement is a conservative investment. It'll work for almost anybody because it's just a life insurance policy. You're buying somebody's life insurance policy that's got terminal cancer, and it's going to mature. You get paid, and you simply do it again.
Yeah.
And then if you're fixing to retire, let's talk about annuities. You know, annuities are the safest thing, I guess, in the world. And right now, annuities have got so many great things. I mean, they're offering things you can't even imagine. The bonuses is a big, big deal right now. They're offering the bonus of 12 or 20%. You can do it either way. The 12% is if you're not ever going to put any more money in it, I would do the 12% bonus. So you get that this year. Now, if you change your mind next year and want to put money in, you get another 12% bonus every year that you put money in for 7 years. If you die, you get all your money. Whatever the growth is, whatever it's worth, it's yours. You can take a payout. You can take 10% a year after that first year. Remember, it's compound interest. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. And how many investments can you invest in where you're not paying taxes till you start using it?
Very few.
It's very, very few. It pays a lot better than most investments. It's solid. It is for people who are going to retire. I've had a lot of people do annuities in the last 30 days, you know, because of the bonuses and because they don't want the risk. I've had people that are with big oil companies. They've simply taken the money out, put it with us because they're losing money. They're not making money in the stock market right now. Sometimes it looks like it, but the people I'm talking to, their portfolios are not showing that. So they're coming in, they're doing an annuity, they're getting the bonus. Now, the people that want the big bonus, the 20%, this is if you're going to put a substantial amount of money in every year. It's also got a 4% add-on at the end. So you've got an automatic 4% add-on on the basic volume there when you get through, when you start taking money out. You've got an extra 4%. Also, in the middle, after the fourth year, if you had an emergency, you can take all your money out with no penalty. No penalty whatsoever if you've got that extra bonus deal going. Now, there is a charge for that extra. It's like 95 cents. So you've got to know that. We have to tell you everything.
95 cents.
Yes, it's 95%. That's on your volume. So you have to consider that. But it's not very much when you've got it's 20% bonus going in every year for 7 years. So it's the cost is very small because you're getting all these extras.
With
if you had to go to a nursing home, you can take all this money out.
With all these,
there's just so many good things right now in annuities.
I know it. It's like all of a sudden there's just like a resurgence of annuities and the interest in people interested in them and all these bonuses and things. Are people finding it a little bit more? You know, maybe if they at one point a couple of years ago they may have said, okay, you know, geez, I can make you know so much money with life settlements. I'm just going to kind of stick with that. But now these bonuses, are people kind of like rethinking, reshifting, and thinking? You know,
I think they're rethinking annuities in a big way. We've always done a tremendous amount of annuities. We have a lot on our books, but right now you can get more than you ever could. So in addition to your bonuses, you get whatever it makes that year. So that's what's really interesting is how much you can make, including the bonus. So you get the bonus of 12% or 20, and then whatever it makes that year. And you're diversified. Oh, my gosh, you're diversified. And it's a wonderful deal because there's not a downside to annuities. We can't ever say, oh, we've got this one downside. There is none. The money's always safe. Your principal's safe. And whatever it makes, it locks in once a year, or we can do a two-year spread where it locks in every 2 years. So you know what you're going to make. Every year it shows you. You look at it, you know what's there, and then if you want to start taking money out, you can. You can do that the rest of your life. Or you can say, I'm not going to take any money out. I'm going to do 10 years, and then I'll just take the lump sum out. You know, what it's worth at the end of 10.
Man.
So there's so many options with an annuity. I've never seen as many options as there is right now.
Good Lord. It's like between life settlements and annuities, I'm surprised anybody's even in the stock market anymore.
I can't imagine anybody being in the stock market when you've got great annuities and you've got life settlements. I love investing in life insurance policies because it's, you know, we know what we're going to make going in. We know it's conservative. We know that the bank handles the money. What more could you ask for?
Yeah.
When you're in the stock market, they're handling your money however they want to. They can invest it in blue chips. They can put it in penny stocks. And I was just reading this week. If they switch you to something that you did not know about, you can come back on them. I didn't know that.
Really?
I don't think it's always been that way. I've seen people take some big hits because the broker put them in something that wasn't appropriate, but I didn't know you could do anything about it.
Wow, that's different.
Yeah. So that's a little bit different. But a conservative approach is what we do. We're not going to go out here and do something outlandish.
Yeah.
And we're trying to keep your money safe. We're trying to make you money and get you ready for retirement.
and some protections. So if anything were to happen, you know, let's say the stock market crash, say some war broke out, you know, overseas, or, you know, all kinds of things affect other investments like the stock market with life settlements. It is its own thing. There is literally nothing that will affect a life settlement. Literally nothing. Right.
Well, you know, when we had the stock market crash of 29, who do you think came out and bailed all these people out? It was annuity companies.
Really?
In 29, we had annuity companies then. Life insurance companies came in and bailed a lot of these people out because they still had money. The insurance companies were prepared. They had up reserves in 29. Not like they do nowadays, but they had reserves. And there wasn't any of them going broke. It was the banks that went broke. It was the brokerage houses because they couldn't meet the calls. A lot of them had borrowed on margin even back then. And a margin account is the scariest thing in the world. You remember years ago when the mortgage crisis hit, a lot of those guys had bought everything on margin. So then when the banks all said, we've been examined. You've got to clear out your loans. I know a doctor that didn't know anything about the stock market. He was in it, but he didn't understand it. And they said, okay, you bought all this on margin. You've got to pay your margin today. He was scrambling to sell his real estate to make his margin call.
Wow.
And a lot of people are in the stock market and have no idea about all these things that are danger. A margin account is the most dangerous thing in the world. If you don't have the money, don't invest.
Man, I tell you, they start calling those margins, and that can get scary, and that can snowball in a hurry. Wow.
And it can break you. That's what can happen.
Yeah, it can.
And if you don't have the money, don't let them talk you into that. Just say, I'll invest what I've got, and I'm not going to put it all in the stock market. I don't want the risk. If you want no risk, do a life settlement or annuities.
Boy, that'll really
because kind of... the risk is very small.
Jeez.
And it gets even tinier with an annuity.
Lots of great conservative investments. I know a lot of people have said, you know, geez, you know, there's nothing really to do, and so we're not going to do anything. And so this is a great opportunity either way they go. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I love the topic for today. It's the Morton Salt Company.
Oh, yes.
You know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They started in 1849. Been in business years and years and years. Mr. Morton bought it for $10,000 from another guy. Now then, they had trouble with the salt. It clumped up. You couldn't pour it out. It had all kinds of problems. And in 1911, they put magnesium carbonate in the salt. It worked. It quit clumping up. It would pour and pour, and they had no more problems. So Mr. Morton told the guys, he said, okay, you go to our ad agency and you tell them, I need an ad telling them that the Morton salt will pour now. He said, and this is 1911, and they had an ad agency in 1911. I'm just impressed to heck.
Yeah.
So he went to them, they started talking about it, and this is when they came up with the little girl, and when it pours, when it rains, it pours ad. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, actually. Wow.
Okay. So the ride down takes several minutes. And when you get down there, it's this huge deal. The ceilings are huge, 85 feet. So the workers, you'd see the work area, the break area, customized pickups down there. It's not like a coal mine where you have to crawl on your knees. Some of these ceilings are 85 feet high.
Good
with
Lord.
Salt rock. The Grand Saline is having their 41 annual salt festival this weekend.
Really?
And they're going to actually give a tour again, which they haven't done for years. And somebody asked him, said, what is the salt's shelf life? And they said, well, it's 250 million years old, so we think it's pretty stable.
I would say after all this time, yeah.
They say you don't have to have gold to live. You don't have to have silver to live. You don't have to have coal, but you have to have salt to live. And that's true. And, you know, it's just amazing to me. The original shaft broke ground in 29.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been there that long, and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, it's like, I almost wonder, how did people first find salt and then decide, hey, let's eat this substance that's under the ground? And it's like,
yeah. See, I don't know either how they, you know, found it and started mining it. Now, they have to be engineers or somebody, because this is 57 stories deep.
Wow. I can't even imagine.
You know, when they started out, they were using mules and donkeys. And they said some of them never saw the light of day. They were born down there, and they lived down there.
Wow.
And that's when they first started. But this is the biggest salt mine in Texas.
Mm.
We have other salt mines. Some of them were successful. Some of them were not successful. And it's just amazing that I didn't even know about this salt mine. Didn't know that Morton had this fabulous mine here. And they say now it's worth over Morton Salt itself is worth over $1 billion.
Good Lord.
Started out, he bought it for $10,000.
In 1849.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine?
Wow.
And then the little girl with the umbrella, I've always been impressed by that. And I didn't know where in the world it came from. I didn't know that 1911... you know, they wanted to tell people that the salt was fixed and that it would pour, and they came up with the little girl, the umbrella.
I had no idea it went back that far.
And and they never changed it. Now, they're not like some people that keep changing this, like Schwann's. I don't know if you realize this. You know, the Schwann name is very, very popular all over the country. They've been selling frozen foods as long as I can remember. They've changed it to yellow,
really?
Y-E-L-L-O-H, because originally all these little trucks are yellow. I think it'll ruin them.
Wait, they changed the whole name?
The name from Schwann's that's so popular that everybody knows to yellow. I think they've got somebody rearranged up there.
Really? Why in the world would you do that?
Because you're just nuts. It takes a really nutty person to screw up your company. And I think some nut did this because, you know, we all know it's Schwann's. I mean, I bought from Schwann's for years and years. I love Schwann's. And all of a sudden they tell me on the phone, oh, you know, we've changed it to yellow.
Oh, wow.
I didn't say anything. I thought it, but I didn't say anything.
What is Y-E-L-L-U?
O-H, I believe, O-H. Yellow.
Wow. Holy moly.
I mean, how do you deal with that when people are used to the famous name of Schwann's? Everybody knows Schwann's.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I think it's going to just really mess it up. But, you know.
Well, I remember them.
My company.
No, Lord, no. Even when I was a kid, you know, we would wait for the truck to come by. It was a really big deal.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
And you would either buy the ice cream sandwiches. And what I love is all the skillet dinners that you can fix in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody that's as busy as I am, you know, a 15-minute meal is great.
Yeah.
And it's got the chicken. It's got vegetables. I mean, they have everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, and they have desserts, lots of great ice cream. And now, I mean, it's a yellow company. Wow.
That's a shock to me. I did not know that. Boy, people rebranding.
It's a big shock.
And speaking of rebranding, I also saw, and I thought about you for this as well, I saw, you know how Bed Bath & Beyond was pretty much shut their doors. I saw that they have revamped and are coming back as only an online outlet, online exclusive.
Well, you know, a company bought the name. There was an online company, and they said, you know, we're not doing real well, but if we had that name, look what we could do. So they bought the name, and they're going to come in as an online company.
Really? I didn't know that part.
Yeah, they bought the name.
Wow.
Yes, they bought the name.
Wow, look at that.
You know, there's one born every minute.
Learn all
kinds
of stuff.
And they're going to convince people. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You just got to keep up with all this stuff.
Boy, that consistency. I'm shocked at the consistency of Morton Salt. I see, now I got to go get the thing at the house and look at the little container and look at it again, and now I have a whole new appreciation for it. That's fascinating.
That's right. I thought it was one of the best things I've found. I just didn't know anything about it and accidentally found it, and I was so impressed that, you know, it's been since 29 and Grand Saline, and they've got these huge, huge deposits of salt that they said it would run another 20,000 years.
Wow.
20,000 years of salt. By the way, they have a museum, a salt museum there, and they have this huge piece of salt out there in front, by the way.
Really?
Yes. So people can go and see the museum. It'll tell you all about the Morton Company, about the salt, you know. And I'm just so impressed that they, in 1911, it came up with a little girl and the salt spilling out. I love that.
That is amazing. And it's another Texas. Where is it again? Because I know, where can we go?
Grand Saline over in East Texas.
Okay.
East Texas, Grand Saline.
I got to put that on the list because that would be fascinating. That's one of those things that you use every day. You never think about it. But now that you know everything, like the history behind it, it gives you a whole new perspective. That I got to see.
I think it does, too. I was so impressed. And 57, if they told me I could go down there, I probably wouldn't go.
Yeah.
57 stories deep. I mean, that is deep.
Yeah.
And they've got 1,000 people that work there. They're the biggest employer in Grand Saline.
Jeez.
And 200 of them work below ground with the tractors and all the equipment, the loaders. And they took them down there piece by piece. Can you imagine? Each tire, each little spark plug, each thing had to go down in the elevator and be put together.
Unreal. I couldn't imagine. Take everything apart, take it down 57 stories, and then put it all back together. That's just...
And put it all together.
Oh.
And... I mean, it's some kind of a deal.
Yes.
And remember, I'll bet they didn't pay very much for this salt mine back in 29. So the profit out of the thing is just tremendous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine what it would have been worth in 29?
Good Lord. Man.
I mean, I just can't imagine what they paid for it.
I can't either. It's fascinating how they found a substance down in the ground like that that's just naturally there, and just not only do we use it.
And
every
remember,
day.
It's in Texas.
Yes,
everything is in Texas. I'm always so proud of our state. We have everything here.
We do. We really
I
do.
I mean, we've avoided all the things the Northerns have and the Californians, and thank the Lord.
I know,
gosh.
Right?
Yes, we don't want either thing.
We are completely self-sustainable if we wanted to be.
That's exactly right. And we don't have the union problems, and we don't have any thing that's shut down because people want to make a tremendous amount. Did you hear that Biden told them that they ought to give part of their profits to the union workers?
I did, yeah.
My gosh. I said, boy, that'll cause some problems.
Oh, yeah, it will. Oh, boy.
I mean, can you imagine telling a company the workers get the profit? Heck, I don't know.
Wow.
It's a strange world we live in.
That is true. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588. 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And another thing, they've now come out with, on these annuities, a video. So if anybody wants a video, all they have to do is say, I'd like a video of the annuities.
Really?
We can now provide them a video.
Wow, that's new.
That was brand new. And they said, yes, you can have a video.
Wow, cool.
So,
all right.
I mean, that's pretty uptown, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very fancy.
That's pretty fancy. Video, yeah.
Wow. Boy, with all the changes and the weirdness in the world, the only thing it seems like we can count on is annuities and life settlements. They're there no matter what.
I think that's the only thing we can really count on that is, you know, down to earth, that we can do and understand it. If it's too complicated to understand it, we shouldn't do it.
No.
And that's why we're sticking with what we know. We know these. Do you realize, and I know I've told it before, we've returned to the clients $200 million since we started.
That's amazing. Fascinating.
We've got right at $100 million under management.
That is a ton of cash.
$100 million.
Wow.
I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but to me it does.
That's a lot. That's nothing to sneeze at. Good Lord.
It's nothing to sneeze at. We've got 147 policies that we're managing.
Wow.
147.
Before we wrap real quick, I know you do want to run over the two risks with the life settlement. So what's the biggest?
The biggest risk is it could go over and you would have to pay premiums. And remember, every time you sign a contract, it shows what the risk is. It shows what your premium are. So you know everything in advance. We always put everything in writing. We don't leave anything to chance. And the other risk is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures.
All right. Okay.
And remember, they also, and I don't know if we've mentioned this every once in a while, when we send a policy in for maturity, you get extra interest. They pay interest from the time we send it in till they pay. So there's always extra interest that we didn't count on.
That is a good point. We don't bring that up very often.
We don't ever think about that.
That's just extra money.
Yes.
All right. So I assume you have appointments available this week to talk to people.
I do. I will be talking to people, signing them up, getting accounts set up for them. If they're transferring money in from their brokerage account, we'll transfer that in. They don't have to do it. If you're bringing a check, it doesn't matter. You just bring a check on your account. We'll put that in, however you want to do it.
Cool. All right. So then one last time for people to call, make an appointment, come talk to you, get started, get more information. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.